Turn now to page 14 and a report on parkour. More popular on YouTube than skateboarding, cycling, and BMX combined, Britain has just recognized parkour as a sport in Britain, the first country to do so.
Where most of us walk from place to place and take stairs to go up and down, parkour enthusiasts, also called traceurs or free runners, run, jump, and climb. To them, the city is simply a playground, although they are quick to stress the intellectual side of what they do. "It's very philosophical," says Naomi Honey, 38, an instructor with parkour's biggest training body, the UK-based Parkour Generations. "I think of it as an active meditation." "It's about the attitude," agrees Fraser Meek, 24, who teaches parkour to people of all ages, starting with two-year-olds. "It's about exploring boundaries sensibly, seeing danger and calculating risk." But that's not everyone's view. Even in Britain, the first country in the world to make parkour an official sport, there are those who see it as a dangerous, subversive activity. "Promoting fringe sports that potentially jeopardise students' lives is a balmy idea," Chris McGovern, a former teacher and government advisor, says. "It is likely to encourage delinquent behaviour." This schism goes all the way back to the sport's origins in the suburbs of Paris in the 1980s. The nine friends who developed l'art du déplacement, as they called it, were basing themselves on French military training passed on by the father of one who had been in the army. Sébastien Foucault, a member of the group, later found international fame using his skills in the opening sequence to the 2006 James Bond film Casino Royale. In fact, what Foucault and his friends were doing demanded discipline and dedication, qualities that everyone could admire. But there was an inescapable element of racism behind attitudes to parkour, because these young men were from Ivry's immigrant community. Some people saw the way they ran across the urban landscape, jumping from building to building, as frightening. Ironically, where there was control, these people saw anarchy. This is why it required a move to the UK before the sport could really take off. It now has some 35,000 practitioners and can be taught in schools. "I love my country, but the UK opened the door to us," says Foucault, now president of Parkour UK. "I met with the Minister of Sport at the Élysée, but nothing happened. Here, I met the sports minister and she is amazing. They're more inclined to embrace the subculture here. There's more openness to exploring possibilities." UK enthusiasts such as Naomi Honey are evidence of how far parkour has come since its Ivry origins. Honey had a high-pressure career as a management consultant when she discovered the sport. Before long, what began as an alternative to the gym became such a passion that she quit her job to follow it full-time. "It was so much fun. It's about extending your capabilities and trying to do things in as playful a way as possible," she says. But is it as dangerous as critics say? Certainly, there have been deaths in the parkour community, but enthusiasts insist that injuries are far fewer than in traditional sports like rugby, horse riding, skiing, or even cycling, because parkour is about individual control and risk evaluation. And although still most popular with young men, the number of women freerunners is rising fast. Indeed, Naomi Honey says it's a sport that especially benefits women. "The beautiful thing about parkour is that we get strong, and women don't often get strong. It pulls us away from how we look. You feel safer and more capable." In other words, exactly the sort of thing girls should learn at school.